Stiller, die Glocken nie klingen, als wenn du offline bist. Na, der ganze Weihnachtstrubel ist dir auch zu viel? Dann lehn dich ruhig mal zurück und atme tief ein und wieder aus. Erst dann alles andere. Psst, das war eine kurze Gesundheitsförderung der MKK, meine Krankenkasse. Mehr unter www.meine-krankenkasse.de.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
The climate crisis is real. That it is an urgent matter to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
State of the Race podcast, available wherever you get your audio podcasts on the Stu Does America feed. Just go there, subscribe to it, and you'll get the State of the Race for free as part of your following the channel. Subscribe also to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. There, you'll get the live broadcast that we do. When you hit the bell for notifications, they'll tell you when they're coming up. And then also, we have comedy bits. We got a new one coming up. In fact, we're going to debut it right after this program. It is something I think you'll like, a new left-wing podcast that I think you're going to appreciate coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Glenn Beck is going to be here, by the way, to expose the left's master plan for illegal immigration for this election. CNN is bringing back one of our favorite stars. And no, Chris Cuomo stands. Unfortunately, you're still out of luck. But I will tell you who's making their triumphant return. But first, we did Kamala flip-flops. Then we did more Kamala's flip-flops. Today, we do even more Kamala flip-flops. And there's a lot to not, it's difficult to understand Kamala Harris. We know that. I mean, people don't even know how to pronounce her name yet. She's one of the presidential candidates. And most people are like, Kamala? Is it Kamala? Is it Kamala? What is it? And actually, I'm pretty good at saying Kamala. People a lot of times on the right are saying Kamala, not because there's any like racism as the left's trying to portray it, but just because it's a freaking hard name to say and no one's ever heard it before other than her. And I learned Kamala very early because I started saying Kamala and I was like, well, wait, what is it? And it was actually Kamala, and I kept messing it up. And then I realized there's only one way to really understand Kamala, and it's by just remembering that Kamala rhymes with the reaction to Kamala, which is like, nah. That's why we came up with Kamala Namala. Yeah, Kamala Namala. That's our line of merch. It's at StuDoesMerch.com. This is legitimately how this started a long time ago. We've had this for a long time. And honestly, I didn't think we were going to sell a ton of them. But because Kamala Harris is back in the news and now the nominee, Kamala Namala is back on the site and selling once again. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is StuDan. You'll save 10%. So let's go through some more Kamala flip-flops, because there's a lot of them. And I think, by the way, I will say I had to reject even more Kamala flip-flops. So there's probably going to be another show on this. And it's fascinating because, once again, she really hasn't addressed many of these. But let me hit a couple more of them that we have not been able to cover in previous shows. For example, the electric vehicle mandate. Harris campaign is sending mixed signals on the EV mandate. Now, you might remember her running back in 2019, 2020. Very happy with every green proposal you could come up with. Why? Her strategy at the time was to run as far to the left as possible and try to outwit those people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who are running basically as socialists. She ran to their left. If you remember, she was the most liberal senator in the Senate her final year when she was running. And that campaign approach now doesn't seem like such a great idea because she's in a general election that she was handed. So she's walking back a lot of these things and acting like she didn't support them. During her 2020 campaign, Harris promised to go further and implement an accelerated model of the Zero Emissions Vehicle Act. According to her archived website, she proposed requiring 50% of all new passenger vehicles to be sold as zero emission by 2030 and 100% by 2035. Harris also pledged that new buses, heavy-duty vehicles, and auto fleets would be zero emission by 2030, according to her website. Her plan to transition the economy to combat climate change would cost $10 trillion over 10 years through public and private money, her 2020 campaign said then. I mean, she was admitting to $10 trillion on, you know, electric buses. And we all know how much the woman loves a yellow school bus. That is well documented. But she is now no longer wanting to admit that she wants to spend $10 trillion on this particular program. In a lengthy fact-check email last week that covered several issues, a campaign spokesperson included a line saying that Harris does not support an electric vehicle mandate. It's news to us, suggesting that she changed her previous position without elaborating. On August 28th, Axios asked the Harris campaign to clarify her position and whether she would sign or veto a bill she co-sponsored in 2019 that included such a mandate for manufacturers. On Tuesday afternoon, Harris's comment ultimately declined to comment. I love this. This is a new policy. She had another one of these today that I was fascinated by. I think it was slavery reparations. And her position was she's not commenting on her current position. Like, why didn't other politicians think of this? This is brilliant. You don't have to comment on what your current position is. You don't even have to say what it is now. You just kind of like leave it out there in the ether. Someone posted this to me, and I mentioned this a couple of times when it comes to the debate, but someone posted this earlier. This is like the Katie Hobbs model is real. What if you just don't debate your opponent? What if you just don't answer any of the questions asked of you? What if you change policy proposals without explaining them at all to anyone? Why wouldn't you do that? It's a lot easier. It gets difficult to explain when you're lying and flip-flopping. What if you just kind of power through it? Well, that's where we are with Kamala Harris. Now, we do have another one. This is Medicare for All. And Medicare for All was a big plan for Kamala Harris also in her presidential campaign. She had a whole post on it called My Plan for Medicare for All. She wrote, in America, healthcare should be a right, not a privilege, only for those who can afford it. It's why we need Medicare for All. Oh, yeah, there it is. Pretty clear. Pretty clear. Well, of course, that one's gone, too. Mm-hmm. Harris isn't pushing Medicare for All anymore. Progressives say that's A-OK. Now, why do they say it's OK? Well, they say it's OK because they know it's not true. Right. Like if you know, like I will say, this is sort of what's happening with Donald Trump and abortion right now. I know this is a sensitive subject. And, you know, as you probably know, I don't care. That's just kind of the way I run the show. And, you know, maybe it's part of the reason why people don't like me occasionally. I would say that there's a lot of other reasons to support that view if you happen to hold it. So I can't just say it's but this is part of it, right? Like Donald Trump right now is saying a lot of things that make me think if I were to see him as a normal candidate, I would think, gosh, that sounds like somebody who's pretty weak on abortion. Gosh, that sounds like someone who might even be pro-choice. Gosh, that sounds like somebody we're going to put in office and is going to put all sorts of pro-abortion policies through. But you know what I really believe about that? He's just lying to get votes. So am I all that concerned about it? I mean, I am for separate reasons, which I've explained. I worry about the rhetoric running going away, right? If the rhetoric goes away, if there's no policy, party publicly arguing for the policy of pro-life, that's a massive issue, and it's a long-term issue. But short-term for this election, what I probably think is Donald Trump, who was never a super pro-life guy anyway, is never a huge advocate for it, but has a very good record on it. And probably when he goes in, he'll probably continue what he did when he was in office last time, which was pretty good. I mean, I never thought we'd get Roe versus Wade overturned. So that's kind of how I look at Donald Trump on abortion. Do I think that he's going to be a pro-choice president when he gets in? Probably not. I hope not. Probably not. There's good evidence to believe that he would not be. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on. I'm hoping for that. This is what progressives are doing with all these policies. They see that she's moving to the right on all of them. Right? Why all of a sudden is she running ads that she's a border hawk? Like, nobody believes that. Why would she say that? Well, she's saying that to win votes. She's lying to win the election. This is not a good feature of American politics, by the way. I don't appreciate it on either side of the aisle. But I will say, if you're a leftist and what you care about is getting power and then using that power, which is what they did with the Joe Biden candidacy, he ran as a guy returned to normalcy. Remember that shtick? Well, he wasn't anywhere close to normal. Everything was a giant left-wing fever dream, and he went super-duper hard on that. So that's what Kamala's going to do. And that's why progressives are A-OK with her flip-flops on this stuff. They know in reality she's not flip-flopping. She's just saying she is. This is one of the reasons why she's not coming out and personally saying most of these things herself. Like, she did address the fracking ban when asked about it. And she'd have to address these things if asked in an interview, I suppose. She'd have to say something. But at the end of the day, if she doesn't have to say anything on record, when she just passes these programs or tries to pass them later on, people will say, well, wait a minute, you said you weren't for that. And she'll say, I never said that. What are you talking about? What aid? What was the name of that aid? Do you remember? Because you're not printing it in any of the stories. We don't even have the names of the aides leaking these things to the public, let alone know they're actually true. So is it really a flip-flop? I mean, we keep saying they're flip-flops on these shows, mainly because people understand it, right? People understand she took one position, now there's another one. But in reality, they're not really flip-flops. What they are is her just hiding what her real opinion is. And her real opinion is she does want Medicare for all, and she probably will go for it, or at least a modified version of it, if she becomes president. But this is what she's saying now. Vice President Kamala Harris is no longer a Medicare for all champion. Progressives are looking the other way. Harris co-sponsored Senator Bernie Sanders. Sanders' Medicare for All legislation when she was a California senator and offered a modified plan as the centerpiece of her short-lived 2020 presidential bid. But a campaign official told Politico it is no longer part of Harris's agenda. What campaign official told you that? Which one? I don't even think they should print this crap unless they can get somebody on record saying it. Oh, somebody told us it. We swear. Oh, really? I don't believe you. I frankly don't believe you. Until she says it, I don't believe you. I mean, like, she was for part of the Medicare for All situation was getting rid of private insurance entirely. Another thing which she reversed through a campaign statement. Look, I don't believe it at all. You want to risk it with that? You can try it. If that's what you want, you can have Medicare for All, because she probably will try to put it in. She may very well succeed. I mean, they succeeded with Obamacare, which went a decent way to that. She wants to go farther. She's not going to go the other way. She's not going to start reversing. We can't even get Republicans to say they're going to start reversing Obamacare. You think she's going to do it? It's an embarrassment. So another quote-unquote flip-flop, but really just her lying about what she's going to do when she's in office. Finally, build the wall, which is maybe the clearest example of the phenomenon I just discussed. We got this Axios headline, Harris flip-flops on building the border wall. Okay. All right, she's flip-flop on building the border wall. You wouldn't put that past her, right? Because she's running ads legitimately trying to make her seem like this big border hawk. Kamala Harris is the only one that's prosecuted cartels. All this nonsense, right? She's trying to make herself look like basically Donald Trump. Why? She realizes it's a massive weakness of hers. Her administration was the worst administration in the history of our country when it comes to the border. So she's trying to run away from that and act like she's tough on the border. She's talking about these reductions she's had from her own numbers, right? Like, hey, you know, we had, you know, millions and millions of people crossing the border. Now we have slightly fewer millions crossing the border. Look at that reduction. Well, you're still much higher than it was in the previous administration. And in fact, I'm no Barack Obama apologist, but even Barack Obama's numbers were much better than the Biden-Harris administration. So what do you do to get around that problem? If you're running for president, you want to get as many people, especially people not paying attention as possible, you run ads on this particular thing. And you have stuff like this. Now, this is interesting how it's written, because it's from Axios, and it's important to understand their perspective here. Axios is, you know, supposed to be a mainstream media, you know, organization, but certainly leans left. It's not a fan of a border wall, for example. Now, what they're doing here is pressuring her from the left. Listen to this. In declaring her candidacy for the first run president in 2019, Harris called the wall Trump's medieval vanity project that wasn't going to stop transnational gangs from entering the U.S. In February 2020, Harris wrote on Facebook that Trump's border wall is a complete waste of taxpayer money and won't make us any safer. In April 2017, soon after joining the Senate, Harris said the wall was a stupid use of money. I will block any funding for it. Now, in that way, she has flip-flopped, kind of in a way. Axios attempts to explain that here. In her speech to the DNC on August 23rd, Harris said she would sign the recent bipartisan border security bill. That bill, negotiated by senators such as James Lankford from Oklahoma, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, requires hundreds of millions of dollars in unspent funds to be used to continue the border, building a border wall. Okay, so That's the concept here. It's not a straight flip-flop. This is not the way these other ones have been. It's not, hey, she used to support this, and we got a statement from her campaign saying she no longer supports it. Or she used to support stopping a border wall. Now we got a campaign leak, and that campaign leak says, actually, she's for the border wall. That's not what this is. It's just because she's supporting this bill, and inside of this bill is funding for a border wall. So strictly, you could maybe make the argument that she has reversed herself on any possibility of funding that border wall. However, the bill itself is important. So think about this. She's supporting a bill that most people on the right say is way too weak on the border. And because there are some money in there for a border wall, she is claiming, and Axios is claiming, she's reversed herself. Well, has she? First of all, think about where Kamala Harris comes across on this. She doesn't want a border wall. But for you, the people, she'd like you to believe she does. Because for you, right now, she wants to look like a hardcore border hawk, which is why she is portraying herself this way in commercials. She wants people to believe that she's tough on the border. A belief that she's reversed herself on the border wall is actually a pretty convenient belief for Kamala Harris right now. Axios is pushing against her on the left. Wait a minute, you said you would never support a border wall, and this bill does that. But it doesn't actually do that. What it basically does is say you can support a border wall if you're president of the United States and get access to this money. This was pointed out by Grabian, who says, no, Kamala Harris hasn't promised to build a border wall. Let me give the details on this, because the details on this one are important. And I included this in this particular segment because I want you to know really the motivation here. The motivation is not, oh gosh, she's flip-flop on the border wall because she wants a border wall now and she realizes it's a smart policy. No, she wants people to believe that she wants a border wall. It says, first, Harris's support of the border of this bill isn't new or noteworthy. That is absolutely true. She's said she's wanted this bill for a while. It's been one of their big cudgels against Donald Trump. He says he's tough on the border. Well, why didn't he want this tough, tough border law that they negotiated? Again, we went over several times on the show why it's not a tough border wall. You can go back and watch those shows if you wish. But the actual text of the bill makes funds, quote, available, end quote. Not required, but available to be spent on a border barrier, but doesn't require it to be built. It's page 76 through 78 of the bill. The operative text allocates funds that remain available until September 30th, 2028 for a steel bollard pedestrian border. And it leaves the decision as to whether the wall gets built to the Secretary of Homeland Security, who is under the authority of the president. So a couple things there. It is money that would be given and is a big thing. If a big pot of money, hey, there's a big pot of money in the corner. You can take that money and spend it on a border wall if you wish as president through your Department of Homeland Security. Second most important thing there, the date. The date is really important. September 30th, 2028, which means this only applies to the next president. So if Kamala Harris wins, it will never be spent. She knows that. She's not going to spend that money on a border wall. I mean, she might put a few feet of it up to say that she did something, but she's not going to spend money on a border wall. She's not going to spend all that money on a border wall. Absolutely not. Even if they got this passed, there's no way that would occur, and it would expire before the next president could actually do it instead. This is a shell game, and it is a misleading shell game. They want you to believe she's flip-flopped on this one. And look, we're going to be fair here. She didn't really flip-flop on this one. She's just lying. And that's so perfect. And let me remind you one more time. If someone asks you the question, Kamala, say Nah-mala. Kamala Namala merchandise available now. StuDoesMerch.com. The code is Stu10. Are you a proud American? I am a proud American. Even though the country kind of sucks sometimes, I still love it. It's true. And if you are a proud American, it kind of means something, right? It means if you come after me or my family, you're going to be ready. That's why I rely on my Patriot Supply. Their three-month mega emergency food kit comes with jam-packed with 33 varieties of filling and delicious foods. So, if you have some issue getting food, this is a real thing that has happened throughout our history and can happen again in the future. If you tried to buy toilet paper during COVID, you know this concept. You gotta be prepared for that. Well, this includes creamy chicken flavored rice, old-fashioned Italian spaghetti, savory chicken broccoli soup. It's not like, you know, rations here. We're talking about good food. And you'll also get a protein bonus kit with diced beef, flavorful chicken chunks, and three varieties of beans, plus nine different fruits and vegetables, plus there's snacks. There's everything you're going to need. All in all, the emergency food kit provides a whopping 2,500 calories per day to keep you well-fed and ready for anything. The way I see it, it's my solemn duty as an American to protect my family without waiting for handouts. And that starts with you. It starts with you getting the food that you need for your family that you can depend on for up to 25 years. Go to preparewithstew.com. Preparewithstew.com. Right now, you'll save $300 off of your mega 3-month emergency food kit. It ships fast. It ships free. Go to preparewithstew.com and save $300 on your kit. Preparewithstew.com.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
I'm joined by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. It is the Left's Illegal Immigration Master Plan for 2024. Be sure to stay tuned and hear all about it, because I'm sure it's going to be very beneficial to the country, as it always is. Glenn, welcome.
I think that was a little hostile. That was passive aggressive.
Yeah. You know, I've come to the conclusion, Glenn, I'm against people breaking the law.
No, I thought it was a little passive aggressive to me, quite honestly. And let's make this segment about me. Forget the country.
Okay.
let's talk about me for a while. No, you know, it's amazing. We start the special with a little bit on Cloward and Piven. You know, we knew we had hit something when Piven, Francis Fox Piven, started coming out and just saying, I'm a little old lady that has nothing radical in me. And, you know, back in 2009, they just turned the gates of hell open on me and you and the show because we talked about the Francis Fox Piven and the Cloward and Piven strategy to collapse New York from 1966. And we said, this is what they're going to do to us. And it is exactly what is happening. It is the idea that you spend so much money that the government just can't keep up. You load the rolls for every possible government handout that you can do. And then that way you collapse the system and you can begin anew. And that's what's happening to the entire West, is they're collapsing our system. And if you're watching what's happening in Europe, they're just a little bit ahead of us. They are putting people in jail for comments on Twitter. Thank God we have the First Amendment. But if we don't pay attention, we're going to lose that right because they can't allow people to speak out about it. And that's why I really don't know what's going to happen. But if I could put Donald Trump in in some sort of a bulletproof bubble right now, I would, and I'd have a taste tester for all of his food, because they'll find some way to make sure he doesn't serve, because too much is at stake for them.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, obviously, what's going on in Europe, but you don't even have to go over there right now. Excuse me. Sorry. I sound like RFK Jr. there for a second. you come back over here. Let's look at Aurora. Right. Aurora, Colorado is turning into, I don't know, little Venezuela. What is happening?
These are, you know, people said Donald Trump was crazy and he's talking nonsense. They're opening up prisons and they're opening up insane asylums. That's exactly what Venezuela did. Venezuela did not just let their citizens go. They actually shipped the worst of the worst up to our border. These are Venezuelan prison gangs. These are gangs that the government of Venezuela under Maduro has used to further his goals by sending these gangs into areas that he wanted the people under control. So now he sent them up, and there's a warning we gave today on how many counties and how many cities in America that they are targeting, because they are sanctuary cities. They're cities where the police have been, you know, reimagined, and they know that the police won't do anything. Aurora, the mayor of Aurora, said that this was the fault of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and it's only going to get worse. You know, just a few days ago, people were saying this was not even happening. But the mayor of Aurora said that it's not just happening at one. There are several apartment complexes where these guys are going in, and they're just collecting the rent. And they're doing it with an AR. And you're going to pay the rent to us now. And they're cutting out the owners and everything else. And nobody's doing anything. How is the National Guard not there? How is this happening to us? And nobody seems to care.
Is it surprising to you that no one seems to care? I mean, there was a story that broke just recently here that a Haitian immigrant who was flown in under the parole program that we've talked a lot about over the past few years of the Harris Biden-Harris administration went into Boston and wound up sexually assaulting a young child. Mm-hmm. And this is now the second Haitian immigrant involved in this program in recent memory that this has happened with. And it's like, is there a number, if you're a Kamala Harris voter, of how many of these you'll accept? Like, what is it, 10, 100, 1,000? Like, why don't people get upset when these things occur?
I think part of it is because they're hoping the election will change things. Part of it is because they don't think anything will change things. And politics, it plays too big of a role, an oversized role in our society now. You can't speak out against it. You don't want, if you're a Harris supporter, you don't want to speak out against it because you don't want to bring attention to that. But it is real, and it is only going to get worse, much, much worse, because they are supported by the people like George Soros, who is promoting and financing a lot of these things. The left is financing our open borders. So this is part of their strategy. And let me give you something. This is from 1966. If everyone allows for the possibility that family income figures are grossly underestimated by the census, they're talking about how many poor people there are in New York. And we have to educate them to get them on the dole in New York. Let's see. In 1965, the monthly average of persons receiving cash assistance in New York was $490,000 at a total cost of $440 million. The rolls now have risen over 500, so the cost will exceed $500 million in 1966. An increase in the rolls of a mere 20% would cost an already overburdened municipality some $100 million. So they're saying in their own, and it's riddled with this kind of stuff, they're saying in their own doctrine, which did financially collapse New York eventually, they're saying this is already overburdened. They are saying we are intentionally trying to collapse New York City. And this is what is being engaged now. If people don't pay attention, if they continue to refuse to look at the facts, this is, you know, my chalkboard, Stu, we talked about this last year or last week. My chalkboard from 2009 or 10, where I said Islamists, radicals, communists, capitalists, all these people will work together to destabilize the Middle East. Then it will destabilize Europe and come here. There will be trouble on the streets. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how I said it now, but everybody remembers that chalkboard. It's one thing now to sit here and watch it actually happen. Now is the time. And I'm not saying this is coming. I'm saying it's here. Now is the time. What's happening over in even Ireland will be a Muslim-run country probably by 2030 if this doesn't turn around. Europe will fall to Islam by 2030, 2040, if this isn't stopped. And no one is listening to their constituents, the people who are supposed to be in charge, the voters. In fact, they're doing the exact opposite. And one of the big experiments on can we actually close off all freedom of speech is happening now in Brazil, which, remember, they had Bolsonaro, who they said was Donald Trump. He was going to become a dictator. So what did they do? They ran a guy who was going to bring normalcy back, and he was going to protect democracy. He was a communist. So is Kamala Harris. She's either a socialist or a full-out communist. But her father was, her mother was, and they brought him in to bring things back to normal. He promised all kinds of wonderful things. What is he now? He is a dictator that is putting his rivals in jail. What are they doing here? Trying to put Donald Trump in jail. They also are going after X. We're going after X. They're going after anybody who is spreading mis and disinformation. I'm telling you, Venezuela is our future if we don't wake up this election cycle.
I mean, it's amazing, too, to see the way that the Harris campaign is approaching this. I mean, you're running this thing tonight, the left's illegal immigration master plan, tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. But they're running ads saying Kamala Harris is a border hawk. She's been tough on the border. She's a prosecutor. She wants to make sure this. She's the only one who's prosecuted cartels before. I mean, are people this dumb? And like, has there ever been an attempt at this brazen to kind of like lie in your campaign message?
You'd have to go back to the 1930s. But I don't think here in America, I mean, maybe Woodrow Wilson. But, you know, when we see the numbers that are coming across and the fact that the Democrats will not sign the SAVE Act, which is to make sure that illegals do not have a vote. The fact that they are making it impossible for you to even ask if you are a citizen of the United States when you come in to vote. They made that illegal in California. I just talked to somebody on the left and they said, you know, some Democrat, not on the left, some Democrat. And they said, that's never going to happen. And I said, it passed. No, it didn't. Yes, it did this week. Look it up. People don't want to recognize how far the government has gone off of the rails. When you see the numbers tonight on how just illegals can affect the election, the numbers are staggering, Stu. They are staggering.
And do we think this is really going to happen for 2024, or is this more of a long-term concern?
Oh, 2024. Look, you know, I said today on radio that Donald Trump just said that he'd be open to releasing the client list for Jeffrey Epstein, those who went to his island. And I mean, that is the deep state will kill you for that. There's too many names in there, too many powerful. This guy is the disruptor, and we are at the final stop. This is the last exit. There is no more exit after this but God. Okay? If we fail in this election, all bets are off. I will tell you, I've been praying a lot lately, asking, you know, okay, can you give me any more? The Lord showed me an awful lot of stuff that is happening right now. But he has never shown me anything past this point. I've seen what he's shown me on the possibility of absolute insanity, but I have not been shown anything past that. And I've been praying. I'm wondering why. Wouldn't it be helpful for me to be able to say, okay, but here's what comes. I don't know why. Maybe I'm living in a way I don't know that, you know, is out of step with him. I don't think so, but, you know, I would blame it on me, not on him. But I find it very interesting that we are at a place now where all that seems to matter is right now. Do the right thing right now. We didn't get a chance to play this on radio today, and I want to play it tomorrow. It was a guy in Mississippi, Alabama, I can't remember, maybe Texas. And he was talking to people in Aurora, Colorado, where people are saying, hey, where are people that are going to come and help us? Where are the patriots that come and stand with us? And it was a terrifying commentary from him. He said, no, we're not coming. Why should we come? You caused all of this. You have made us into the bad guys all the time. We'll stand for our own communities, but if you think we're coming to help you, what would happen to us? We would go in and we would help you. You would be begging us to bring order. And what would we do? We would bring order and then you'd have us all arrested. Mm-hmm. And it's frightening because you see people in this, just this one video, you see people reaching out for anything beyond the government and beyond police. Who will come and help us? Because they won't. And then the other side saying, you get what you deserve. We'll bring order to our own place. I don't want that kind of order. We have to bring our government back in line. And it's going to be hard, but I think the only chance we have is a Donald Trump administration.
Mm. 2 months. 2 months away, Glenn. And Glenn Beck, his new special is coming up 9 p.m. Eastern tonight. It's the Left's Illegal Immigration Master Plan for 2024. Be sure to stay tuned and, of course, check it out on Blaze TV with your account, blazetv.com/stew, if the promo code is stew, and you'll get $20 off right now. Glenn, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Well, if you're one of the millions of Americans who've been boycotting CNN because you didn't have Brian Stelter on the air anymore, rejoice. He's coming back. Brian Stelter returns to CNN as chief media analyst. That's right. Now, what is this job exactly he's going to be doing? Because before, he was writing the big, you know, media newsletter called Reliable Sources. And he was kind of appearing on shows here and there to talk about the media. And he was hosting a Sunday show called Reliable Sources. And he said, I love my old life as an anchor of the Sunday show, but to borrow some lingo from my video game blogger days, I finished that level of the game. Time for new levels and new challenges, said Brian. His new role instead will be an on-air analyst and writing the newsletter. I mean, it seems like that's the same job except without the Sunday show, right? That's the same. I mean, it's still a good gig. So congratulations to Brian getting it back. But I don't know that it's necessarily a new level when they just took away your show. Maybe I'm not understanding it fully. One other thing that's a little hard for me to understand. Schools are banning all sorts of stuff. All black outfits, hoodies, Crocs, cell phones, and mirrors. Now, most of those, I don't really understand, like, why can't kids wear Crocs? Who cares? Cell phones, I completely agree with, 100% they should be banned from schools. But I'm just thinking, as you're banning things from schools, I have another idea of a thing you could ban, which would be, like, teaching them socialism. Letting them... what about banning gender transitions behind the parents' backs? What about something like that? What about banning BS history that's not actually real? What about banning, the insanity of teachers who increasingly seem to be doing terrible things to their students? Things like that might be worth banning. What about banning Randy Weingarten for having anything to do with our education system? Things like that would be beneficial. Crocs? Not so much. Imagine for a moment that you're about to make the biggest financial decision most people make in their entire lives, either buying or selling a home. And what would it mean to not only have help, but have the best help available? Imagine what it would be like to not have to worry about whether you were going to be able to find the right contractors to do repair work, or the right photographer to get your house looking great on the web, or the right mortgage company. The right everybody you'll need to make this not only a smooth process, but a profitable one. Well, good news, you don't have to just kind of imagine this. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com pairs you with the best real estate agent in your area, someone who knows the best practices, someone who understands the crazy housing market, someone who is a team leader and a closer, someone you can trust. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, please get in touch with realestateagentsitrust.com. You'll see what I mean. It's a great service and it's free to you, so why not take advantage of it? It's realestateagentsitrust.com. The name says it all. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. Ah, it's time for Stu Does the Polls. Yes, we're bringing it back again for another election year, and it's that time of year. So let's get down to some of it. We have CNN polls across six battlegrounds, finding Georgia and Pennsylvania are key toss-ups, is what the headline says. But let me give you what the actual states are. Wisconsin has Harris ahead 50-44. Very good poll for Kamala Harris there. In Michigan, it's 48-43, Kamala Harris winning. In Arizona, Trump is at 49 and Harris at 44. In Georgia and Nevada, 48% back Harris, 47 for Trump. In Pennsylvania, the candidates are tied at 47. Long story short, if those happen to be reality, if that actually proved to be true, if those, first of all, it would be very difficult to see a tie in Pennsylvania, but regardless of which way Pennsylvania went in this particular election scenario, Kamala Harris is your new president of the United States here. I mean, if you think about it this way, there's seven states. I've got the chalkboard off screen here. You can't see. But, you know, if you have those southern states, which are Nevada, Arizona, Georgia and North Carolina, those four states basically are states that Trump has to sweep, and then he has to pick off one of the northern three swing states, the blue wall, they call it, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. So he's got to go, you know, he's got to do pretty well there. I mean, I can't remember if he can lose Nevada in that scenario. I think he might be able to, but I'd have to do the math again. Bottom line is, there's not a lot of room for error here. And this is what makes it difficult when you have candidates with such absolutely well-defined groups of voters. I mean, Donald Trump, we all know, has 45% of this country who is rock solid behind him, another 45% who hate him more than Hitler. So what happens in the middle, that's where you can kind of dance around a little bit. Another poll from MSNBC, Harris is ahead but remains an underdog thanks to the Electoral College. ABC Ipsos has it at 52-46. USA Today has it at 48-43, both with Harris. Now, that sort of lead, honestly, I disagree with her analysis on that. If she's winning by 5 or 6 points, she's winning the Electoral College, too. There is, though, that room, and it's about 2.5 points, roughly, 2 to 2.5 points, where Trump has some wiggle room. If Trump loses by 1 point in the general election polling, he will likely win the election. Why is that? Well, it's because they're going to run up the margins in places like New York and California. They'll get massive, massive, massive leads there. The votes will continue to pour in for weeks after the election, by the way, on that one. But at the end of the day, none of it will matter because, you know, Trump's not going to win either of those states anyway. So it doesn't get you any extra points to pile up, you know, a million votes after the buzzer in New York and California. So that's generally speaking how that happens. The states where that are much closer have smaller populations and are going to have much smaller margins. Rasmussen has a poll out. Rasmussen, which is a very favorable to Donald Trump generally, has a new poll out. Liberals love this one because it shows Donald Trump behind 47-46 in a national poll. Now, only 380 respondents here, very small poll size, especially for a national poll. And Rasmussen usually leans the other way. One more here is NBC News. They have news on a Unidose poll. 59% of Latino voters say they will vote for Kamala Harris, 32% for Trump. But among English-dominant Latino households, it's 51-38, only a 13-point, where it's 64-30 among Spanish-speaking households. So, again, a 34-point margin compared to a 13-point margin. This is why they don't necessarily necessarily want you to be speaking English as a second language or a first language. They would rather have you speaking Spanish all the time because really that media market is not represented as much by conservatives. So they're able to flood that zone with propaganda. So this is why, of course, they want you to go that direction. I have more in a second. So we have a new liberal podcast coming out here in just moments. This is a new series of comedy bits that we were going to be doing. And the first one's released here like right now. So go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. It's called Useful Idiots. At least that's our generalized theme for it. Although each podcast has a little bit of a different flavor. And it's just us making really good liberal arguments that I think you'll really appreciate. Share it around, please. Share it around. Let other people see it as well. Mocking the left is one of the best ways to defeat the left. It's at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. YouTube.com/StuDoesAmerica. I'm posting it right now.